Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We're going to be continuing today in our studies looking at the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4, and we've been looking at verse number 13, which says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Now, we have been looking at the issue over the last couple of episodes of the issue of asleep and what it was that the Apostle Paul was making a reference to, and how he was speaking about individuals who have died and are no longer living. And as he's bringing this up, he's talking about how the members of the body of Christ, as he, the end part of the sixth, that ye sorrow not. So that we are not to have the sorrow that the unsaved individuals have. Now, when you look at the idea of what it is that sorrow actually means, we'll just quickly read the definition. It comes out of Webster's 1828 dictionary, which says here, "The uneasiness or pain of mind which is produced by the loss of any good, or frustrated hopes of good, or expected loss of happiness, to grieve, to be sad. I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrow to repentance." And that's from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. "Or sorrowing most of all for the words which be spoke, that they should see his face no more." And that comes from Acts chapter number 20. So we see from this idea that there's a sadness that he's talking about, that he is saying that the members of the body of Christ, and it says, should not have. Now, that idea of sorrow, you know, that's a natural reaction that we have when somebody dies. You know, and the sorrow that we have, and as we look at this, is that we're going to see how the actual sorrow that we as the members of the body of Christ has is because we no longer have that relationship with them here on earth, but we understand that a saved individual, we will see them again in the heavenly places. So that is why we do not have that sorrow as he's speaking about in this. And we know that because the individuals who've put their trust in the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, the gospel message which we find in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Once someone puts their trust in that, they are saved and they're part of this hope that we've been looking at and seeing that the Apostle Paul is making a reference to here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, this description of the catching out of the saints and knowing that we have that guarantee of ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. That's why we know that we are not to have this sorrow. Yes, it is sad. Yes, there we had a care for the individual and we had that relationship that we're no longer having, but we're not to have the sorrow that lost individuals would have. And because their sorrow comes from the fact that from their perspective, they're going to no longer have any sort of relationship with the individual. And really, it's okay for when we have a family member, we have a close friend, somebody that we've known, it's okay to grieve when that person dies, because you know we've lost that relationship. But there's that step of knowing that there's something that's going to come after this that's for all of eternity. And really what Satan would want for to have happen for us is that we would get caught up in the trap of where the world actually is. And that's why when Paul says here in our text, when he says about that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope, that Satan would have the members of the body of Christ functioning in that exact same manner that the lost world is actually functioning under. Because he knows that he has control. Things. We see that. Let's go over to the book of Ephesians. We're going to read here in Ephesians chapter number 2, this description that the Apostle Paul gives here. And we're going to read the first three verses of Ephesians chapter number 2, which say, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So we see from this statement that the Apostle Paul is making here, talking about where it was that we were prior to our salvation, prior to putting our trust in that gospel message, that we were walking according to the course of this world. And it's the prince of the power of the air who has the complete control over the things of this world. That's why you see back in the gospel accounts with the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when Satan is speaking with the Lord Jesus Christ and he shows him all of the kingdoms of the world, that he is able to legitimately offer control over all the things of the earth if the Lord Jesus Christ would have just bowed down and worshiped him. That was not an empty offer, because if it was, the Lord Jesus Christ would have just simply been able to say, "This is something that you can't give." Instead, he responds with a statement from the Word of God showing that, yes, you might have control over those things now, but knowing that in the end, Satan is not going to have the control over those things. This is also why when we talk about the things of this world, and individuals think that they can have an influence on them without the Word of God, that we see that that type of thinking is going to cause nothing but problems at that point, because it's only the Word of God which can actually cause a change in an individual. And the Word of God can only work in those who have put their trust in the gospel message laid out in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. That's why we see when the Apostle Paul lays out what the will of God is, that is all men would be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth, because salvation has to happen first in order for individuals to be able to come unto the knowledge of the truth, understanding what God's word actually says at that point. And we see how it is that the word of God actually works in an individual who is saved. If we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and we see here in the Apostle Paul give a description here, starting in verse number 6, and we're going to read all the way down through verse number 16 of the chapter, describing what is going on in this thought process. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting here, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now the Apostle Paul gets into a long discussion here about how it is that the Word of God actually has an impact on the believer. So as a believer takes in the Word of God through their study, and studying according to the principle that we find in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, which says, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So as the individual takes in the word of God, applies the principles of right division, and they're studying it, that the Spirit takes the word and communicates with the spirit that's inside of a man and compares the spiritual things with spiritual to be able to give the insight into what it is that the Word of God actually says. And this is one of those things where somebody's studying that they have that light bulb moment of when all of a sudden they get that understanding of what the Word of God says. That's the Spirit working in them to create this, to give the person that understanding. And we're able to have that understanding because, as Paul says here at the end of this passage, we have the mind of Christ. That is something that we have as a present possession, and that we have that because we have a completed Word of God. We have all of the information that we would need to be able to understand, taking it in, having that impact on who we are and the Word of God producing that change in the individual, so that way they would be in that position to where, as the Paul said in our text, that they would sorrow not. You know, that idea of having that sorrow is something no believer should have, in a sense of where we would be in that position of where we sorrow as those who have no hope. Now, individuals really sometimes struggle with that idea of saying that those who are not saved really can't understand what the Word of God says, because they think that everybody should be able to have that insight. And the problem that those who, because they don't have the Word of God working in them, because they don't have the Spirit, they're not able to grasp the things. They're not able to understand. They don't have, you know, because they have not been reconciled at that point. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And we're going to see here in this text why it is that we can have that understanding of the fact that, you know, when Paul's saying that we are not to sorrow in this manner, that we know the truth of what it is that the Word of God actually says for us. We're going to read here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 from verse 16 down through verse number 21. It says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And what is needed for the individuals is to have that thing where in verse 21, you know, Paul saying that we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. It's that reconciliation that is needed. And once that happens, then we know that the person has that guarantee of salvation. And we know that the truth of what God's Word says about that they're going to be part of that hope, and that there is nothing that could ever take that person away from the hope that has been given us. That's why we see the promise that's made. And let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 1, to where we see the Apostle Paul give the promise about the guarantee of our salvation when he says here in verses 13 and 14 of Ephesians chapter number 1, "And whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." You know, that's why we can see, you know, thing in chapter 4 and verse 30. and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, the fact that there's a good work that's been performed in us that's going to occur until the day of Christ. That we're going to be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. All of this pointing to the fact that we have this guarantee. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14, it describes how the Spirit is the seal that's keeping us in the body. So it's not something that we have done. It's not something that could possibly even break at some point in time. Because if the Spirit is the seal, there is nothing that could ever break that or take it away from who we are. Because if it was ever possible that something could occur to where we could have that seal be broken, we would figure out exactly what needed to be done in order to cause that to occur. You know, that's really just the natural thing of what happens with an individual. You know, when someone sees that sign that says, you know, wet paint, you know, and, you know, saying that do not touch, that individuals have, there's that immediate temptation of wanting to put their hand or their finger on that paint to see if it was actually wet. Or, you know, think of, you know, keep off grass and the temptation to want to walk across the grass that says that you're not supposed to walk on. Man has the natural thing of wanting to go against whatever the statement actually is, you know, whether it's man saying don't do this or whether it's saying that God is saying don't do this. You know, you go all the way back to the garden and how Adam had one simple command, which was to not partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And how, you know, you guys, well, the, you know, that's an easy thing. You know, they should have been able to do that. But you see what it is that they actually did. And how they could not follow that one simple command. And they broke what God had instructed for them to do. And there was a result that came about because of the failure to follow what God's word said to them. That's what would happen even in the dispensation of the grace of God, that individuals would figure out a way to break what God has done for us. If there was actually a way to do it, God set it up so that way there's no way to break it. The Spirit is the seal that keeps us in the body of Christ, that keeps us so that way we're going to have that guarantee of that hope, keeps us that way we know that we should not sorrow as other individuals would have that sorrow when we have a loved one die and we no longer have that relationship. Yes, we have a sorrow, but it's not a sorrow in the same manner where other individuals would have it. Now, we'll continue looking at some things here in the book of 1 Thessalonians next week. As we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of previous messages. We have charts to help you in your study of God's Word. We have information how to watch our Sunday service or our Wednesday night Bible study live as they're being broadcast on Facebook. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything in our broadcast, anything on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. Until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.